Dennis Williams, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. As the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is this week's chairman, Nicholas Parson.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And need I remind you of the rules? Perhaps I should remind myself. They're going to try and speak, each one of them, for just a minute on some unlikely subject which I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation. And if either of the other two think the third one is guilty of this crime, they may challenge and so gain points for themselves or otherwise, which I'm sure will become clear as we proceed. Geraldine, it is your turn to begin, and for that fine academic mind of yours, Pythagoras. What about that for a good subject for you? And would you start talking now?
Pythagoras was a rather ordinary Greek who lived a long time ago. Apart from this, though, he and I do have one thing in common. We both doodle. While I throw all my doodles modestly away, however, he kept his, and among them was a lot of doodling with a triangle. Among this, scholars in subsequent ages have discovered various things about triangles, which strike me as the most incredibly irrelevant and boring facts. It's odd enough that you should want to investigate a triangle at all, but even supposing that you do, then to investigate how many squares it can have on each of its sides.
Clement Freud, you've challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
Squares on a triangle.
Geraldine, would you like to qualify what you're going to say in a half a sentence or one sentence?
Pythagoras' idea. It's all I know about him.
You don't know enough, I think, to keep your point so clear.
Yeah, I think she ought to. It's quite right, because Pythagoras thought...
the square and the hypotenuse is equal to the side of the square and the other two sides.
Yes,
so... But I thought Geraldine didn't know that, so I was going to give the point to you.
I thought perhaps she didn't know it.
But you were General Freud, you're very magnanimous. You challenge to get points, and then you give them back to the person you challenge. What a magnificent gesture. All right. Geraldine, General Freud's given you a point, and you have still 27 seconds for Pythagoras, starting now.
I now know that the sum of the squares on the hypotenuse, thanks to Clement Freud and Nicholas Parsons, equals...
Clement Freud. Why?
Because it's not the sum of the squares on the hypotenuse, it's the sum of the squares. Sum of the squares on the other two sides.
Yes, yeah. The square and the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares on the two sides. Clement Freud, you have 22 seconds for Pythagoras, starting now.
Pythagoras was very happily married to an elderly woman known as Blueberry Pie around that part of Greece. And Pythagoras and Blueberry raised many children who were famous in their own fields of geometry and pure arithmetic, and kept algebra entirely out of it.
Geraldine Jones, why did you challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so. I'm surprised you didn't challenge before. You have Pythagoras back for 2 seconds, Geraldine, starting now.
Pythagoras was...
Clement Freud, you challenged.
Hesitation.
You have another... You have 1 second, Clement Freud, for Pythagoras, starting now. Geraldine Jones,
Hesitation,
of course, you're absolutely right. Yes, you have half a second, Geraldine, for Pythagoras, starting now.
He was terribly suggestive.
Actually, Ian Messiter, who was sitting beside me, managed to pip Clement Freud there. So Geraldine gets the point. She gets an extra point for speaking as the buzzer went. So well, Clement Freud is now a little in the lead. 1 point behind is Geraldine Jones, and 1 point behind that is Kenneth Williams. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. A subject that we hope that you can talk to us about: making a cup of tea. Can you discuss that in 60 seconds, starting now?
Making a cup of tea is rather more difficult than making a pot of tea, but I will try to answer the question that you gave me, perhaps slightly deviously, but we shall see. You get a cup, and ideally warm it, and put into the cup tea leaves, which should...
Geraldine Jones, yes.
Hesitation.
Yes, you were trying to be so clever in taking the subject too literally, which I thought was a great effort. But anyway, you have a point, Geraldine. You have 40 seconds for making a cup of tea, starting now.
As a patriotic Englishwoman, it's very difficult to talk about making a cup of tea, because the only people who make cups of tea are foreigners, people who dangle tea bags in a cup of hot water and produce a rather revolting, insipid brew, which generally doesn't taste awfully nice with milk. This reminds me, of course, of brewing, but I shall...
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
It reminds me of brewing. We're talking about cups of tea.
Well, but as you can also brew tea, I think it's not justified. Geraldine, you have another point. You have 22 seconds for making a cup of tea, starting now.
It's no use, really, letting a cup of tea stand in order to...
Clement Freud.
Repetition. Seven cups.
Yes. There's certainly a lot of cups of tea. Clement, you have another point, and you have 20 seconds for making a cup of tea, starting now.
If to be reminded of brewing is not deviation, the cup of tea reminds me of flying. You sit in a seat, and you pull forward the propeller lever.
Kenneth Williams, lovely to hear from you.
Well, yes. Nice to each other. I'm bemused, dear, I am. Well, deviation, of course, sitting in for aeroplanes has nothing to do with discussing making a cup of tea. Deviation.
Do you wish to justify very rapidly, Cameron? Can you, in one sentence?
I'd like to hear Kenneth Williams.
Thank you, everything.
You have 10 seconds, Kenneth, and you have another point, of course. You have making a cup of tea, and you start now.
Tea, of course, as everyone knows, is grown on the Chiltern and Cotswold Hills.
Not grown on the Chilterns.
Half a point each. You have justified. Right, a half point each, so we're still with you, Kenneth, with 5 seconds to go. Make a cup of tea starting now.
And these girls pick this tea and they're dressed in gay bandanas which they wrap round their heads and they cry out. Tell me, I've leapt into the lead.
You leapt all but into the lead. You are about half a point behind Geraldine, who is half a point behind Clement Freud.
No. Oh.
It's neck and neck. And Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin with a delightful subject, proposals. 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Proposals. The word, of course, is derived from pro, which is to be for something, and pose, which is, of course, to pretend to be something you're not. Many people connect it with marriage, which, of course, would fulfill that definition, because many people would wish they hadn't got the one they were stuck with. In a sense, that makes sense. On the other hand, a lady once told me that she was proposed to by carrier pigeon. And she said she was there in her garden waiting for her message, watching the birds wheeling and turning. And a neighbour said, what are you doing? She said, I'm waiting for it. And she said, oh dear, I think you're asking for it.
Clement Freud.
Hesitation,
yes.
No.
You can embroider that to us. I can go with you to a certain extent on your embroidery.
I often throb a bit.
Yes. You were throbbing too much. I said I can go with you to a certain extent on your embroidery, Kenneth, but I think you went a little far on this occasion, so Clement Freud has an extra point. He has 16 seconds for proposal starting now.
The normal method of proposing to a young woman whom you want to take as your wife is to approach her father and ask him whether you can have her hand in matrimony. This is ideally done by getting down on one knee, which you will later do to the girl in question, and saying, sir, to all the...
I recall that was rather devious, saying to the girl in question, sir. Clement Freud, as you were speaking, it's the bell, wasn't it? You have taken a... Good lead, I would say, yes. And Geraldine is still a little behind you, and Kenneth is half a point behind Geraldine. Geraldine, the subject for you now, spooks. Would you try and talk for just a minute, starting now?
Spooks' Christian name was Jim. He was a very tall, thin young man who used to drink vast quantities of whiskey and brandy, and because all the people he associated with were high-powered, dynamic wits, they used to make lots of puns on his name and call him Spirits for short. Of course, he used to also live in a...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
I agree. You have another point, Kenneth. You have 48 seconds for... No, less than 40... No, 43 seconds for spooks, starting now.
This is, of course, the plural form of to cock a snook, which means to act derisively with the form of jester.
Geraldine Jones.
Regrettably, deviation.
Oh, yes, would you justify it just for the audience?
It was snooks instead of spooks with
yes.
A P.
And it's spooks.
Oh, your diction is dreadful.
However bad my diction may be, if you'd been listening to Geraldine Jones at all attentively, you'd have realized that she was on about spirits and such like.
But I'm concentrating on whether she hesitates or not. How can I think of that?
I think you're emotionally thinking of cocking a snook. Yes. So, Geraldine Jones has another point. She has the subject back with 34 seconds left for spooks. Starting now.
Spooks always strikes me as a terribly metallic, angular word.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge? You pressed your buzzer. You wish to retract your...
Yes, it was a thumb slip.
And what we have before described as one of those Freudian slips. Right. Back with you, Geraldine, and no points lost, but next time I will have to penalise for 29 seconds for spooks starting now.
It was, in fact, one of the spooks I'm talking about that pressed Clement Freud's buzzer just now. They behave in a rather...
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Yes, this time you're right. You have a point, Clement, and you have 21 seconds for spooks starting now.
Rudyard Kipling was very impressed with this subject and wrote a poem which began, spook, 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 spooks, moving up and down again, and later decided...
Jimmy Williams.
Completely untrue deviation. It was boots, 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 and an arch. Nothing to do with spooks.
I thought you were going to have him for repetition. In about seven
spooks.
Yes,
there should have been repetition. Yes. Well, yes, and another thing. Yes, that should get me 2 points.
Ian Messiter sitting beside me thinks you should. I don't know why. I don't think so. No, actually, I not know that Roger Kipling one day didn't write down spooks, 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 spooks.
Yeah,
so I know what I'll do.
It's not been published back.
No, as you didn't challenge correctly, I will give you 1 point, but I will give the subject back to Clement Freud. Clement, you have 9 seconds for spooks starting now.
On a dark, wet August night, this is the sort of thing you're likely to see in the belfry of any provincial church. It comes up wet.
I think Geraldine's challenge came in just beforehand, didn't it?
Split
a split second. All right, Geraldine, what is your challenge?
Deviation. We don't know what he was talking about, unless Kipling appears in the belfry.
Oh, I think you're all trying to be too clever now. No, no, I won't ground that. But as you buzz, as the buzzer went, Clement just gets 1 point for speaking as the buzzer went. He's got his round of applause, and he's definitely in the lead. And 1 point behind is Kenneth Williams, and 1 point behind is Geraldine Jones. Clement Freud, it is now your turn to begin. You have the weather. And anybody can talk about that in this country for considerable time, but just a minute will do, starting now.
There's an awful lot of weather in this country, and you mostly get it above the ground, often as high up as in the sky. It rains and it snows and sometimes it thunders. It's a very handsome subject with which to meet people.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. Weather can't be called handsome. It might be applied to a man. It might be applied to me. Many people have said it of me. But you couldn't say the weather was handsome, no.
You couldn't?
No.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll put it to the audience once again. Do you think that Kenneth Williams' challenge was justified? And if you do, will you cheer? If you think it was unjustified, will you boo? And will you all do it now? I don't know if it's easy to choose. Boo, I don't know. But there's certainly with you, Kenneth Williams. You have another point, and you have 43 seconds for the weather starting now.
Well, weather, of course, can be delightful, and I always go off to the east for the sunshine, you see, because you do get the sunshine even if you never get here. And I lay out there with my tan oil, and I rub it on, rub it all over myself, really luxurious.
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
No, I would have had it for deviation, because I don't know what tan oil is, you know, I think it's getting very devious. No, Kenneth Williams has 26 seconds for the weather starting now.
And indeed, I have had such a tan that I've been sometimes compared with Morocco leather. You've all seen those Morocco leather books.
Geraldine Jones.
Deviation.
Definitely, I won't go any further. One definite deviation and 1 point to you, Geraldine, and with 18 seconds for the weather, you start now.
I am the tainted weather of the flock is a line in Shakespeare which I've never been able to make out. It seems incredible that weather, which we all know is the only subject of conversation for those who don't like talking, it can be connected.
Clement Freud. Hesitation, you have another point, Clement. You have 6 seconds for the weather starting now.
Snowing is quite an interesting aspect of weather, and it usually happens in winter when the day is cold and...
It's your turn to begin. And I think it's about time we had a penalty. So in this round we'll have a penalty. You mustn't mention the word two. That includes TOTOOTWO. The subject is relations. And you start now.
Relations? Well, of course, this generally refers to puppies. Gil said two.
You have another point. You have 54 seconds for relations starting now.
I have relations in two laws.
Geraldine Jones?
Two.
Clement Floyd, what were you going to say? I think I know.
I said I have relations in two laws.
Yes, you're quite right.
Sorry.
So, Clement Floyd cleverly has another point. He has 52 seconds for relations starting now.
While a middle-aged aunt of mine lives in Tewkesbury, I visit her usually on Tuesdays when we go...
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, you're correct. You have another point. You have 43 seconds for relations starting now.
Relations are a nice composite term for all those people in your family that you don't know awfully well. The sort of aunts and cousins and sisters. Not sisters, really. Sisters, relations, perhaps. In-laws and cousins.
Clement Floyd.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Clement, you have another point. You have 30 seconds for relations and none of the penalties. 2-2-2-2 starting now.
Tombs are beautiful places in which one finds these people. Aunts, sisters, uncles, grandfathers and grandmothers, all of these apply under the term relations. And a relationship is a sort of boat with which one goes and sees.
Geraldine Jones.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, we're on to relationships.
That's a very clever challenge. I would have had him for hesitation. I was already getting down so slowly. I didn't need to go any slower, actually. But all right. A clever challenge, Geraldine. You have another point. You have 9 seconds for relations starting now.
Relations, of course, don't have to apply to people.
Clement Floyd.
To apply.
Very good. Clement Floyd, you have another point, and you have the subject back with 7 seconds to go starting now.
A second cousin twice removed is the sort of...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. You mentioned cousins before. We haven't had cousins before.
We haven't had a single second cousin.
We haven't had a second cousin. I think we've only had cousins once in any relationship, so...
Well,
I'm afraid...
I've spoken for ages.
There we are limited on relations, Kenneth. Anyway, I'm afraid, Kenneth, you have given Clement Floyd another point. With 3 seconds to go for relations, Clement, starting now.
And a lukewarm case could be made for a mother-in-law.
Well, Clement, with all his relations, has taken a definite lead. An equal second are Geraldine Jones and Kenneth Williams. Perhaps the balance can be redressed this time by Geraldine Jones. We'll have another pen for this one, too. Without saying the word of, O-F. And the subject is getting a break. A little second to think about it and start now.
Naturally, the best place to go to get a break is Oxford. You find the ideal situation for this in a little shop in a little back street where a nice man has a great selection of boxes in which...
Clement Floyd.
Of boxes.
Of boxes. All right, you have a point, Clement. You have getting a break starting now.
The best time to get a break is when you're particularly hungry, when you can go to a shop and purchase something which will make you less hungry, like a large bar coated with chocolate or a small piece of chocolate with some bar outside it. In the schools, there is a break at about half an hour before...
Geraldine Jones.
Hesitation.
Yes, I definitely think so. Geraldine, you have the subject back with another point. You have 25 seconds for getting a break, not saying the word of, starting now.
This is terribly difficult because breaks are normally hidden in things like cars or bicycles. And when you only have to get a break by itself, it's extremely hard to distinguish.
Kenneth, will you be here? Hesitation. Yes, Ken, if you have another point, you have 15 seconds for getting a break without saying the word of, starting now.
Well, I got a break on the football field. Actually, I was doing an impersonation of Winston Churchill and somebody rushed up and they bashed me right across the nose.
Clement Floyd, you challenge why?
Of Winston Churchill.
Of Winston Churchill.
Oh,
So, 10 seconds, Clement Floyd, for getting a break, starting now.
If you get a motor car without a break, then it is absolutely essential to go to your nearest garage and purchase such an item, because the ministry that deals with...
Chemical deviation.
I'm sorry,
hesitation.
I'm deviation on the brain.
We're all with you, Kenneth. It's all right. Don't get rattled, because there are only 2 seconds left for getting a break, starting now.
Well, I had my nose back, and it was broken right across me.
Yes, well, let's spurt up the field from Kenneth Williams.
Yes?
Not quite. Not quite, Kenneth. I'm terribly sorry.
Now, you're still 2 points behind Clement Foyd, still in the lead, and Geraldine Jones is 3 or 4 points behind you.
I'm always behind, every week.
But you're not right behind. Always before they said you had a little behind.
Yes.
Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The things in my wallet. We have no penalties this time. The things in my wallet, Kenneth, for just a minute, starting now.
The things in my wallet I will have to speak of, I'm afraid, in the past tense, because I lost my wallet and it had such dreadful repercussions that I did not purchase another. When I went to the police station, they said, what was the wallet like? I said, it was Morocco leather, and the police said, how do you spell Morocco? And I didn't know myself. But in that was all my insurance stuff, my identity card, and my old ration book. I used to keep it because I loved it as a souvenir, and a photograph of Maudie Fittleworth. Maudie Fittleworth, you'll all remember, fun with a Frankfurter. She was the top of the bill, and I adored Maudie. And I used to go round to her dressing room.
Clement Foyd, you've done
three Maudies.
Yes, we had a bit too much of Maudie, I'm afraid.
You couldn't have enough of her.
You speak for yourself, Kenneth, and we'll speak for the game. Clement Foyd has a point. He has 23 seconds for... I said to myself, I'm Maudie Littleworth. 23 seconds for the things in my wallet, starting now.
I have a number of pockets in my wallet, some of which are used for money and other for carrying cards and identity tags and credit slips. But ideally, the right-hand side of my wallet contains £5 notes and the middle green £1 notes with 10 shilling notes bringing up the rear. On the left-hand side, I have my identity card, which I've kept for reasons...
As Clement Foyd was speaking as the buzzer went, he gains another point, and it's Geraldine's, Jones' turn to begin. Geraldine, making an exit. I don't know if you've ever done that, but here's a good chance to talk about it for 60 seconds, starting now.
The worst part about making an exit is that if you want it to be really spectacular, you have to accept that a lot of people must see it. And if you leave a lot of people in a room after you've gone, you're open to the awful searing darts all the way home. That the moment the door has slammed behind you, they all burst into malicious conversation about you and all the faux pas you've made during the evening. The most important rule, however, that slightly overcomes this...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Yes, Kenneth, you have the subject of making an exit... 35 seconds, starting now.
The thing to do, of course, is to wear a toga, because as you turn round, the great line of garments swells and billows out. You say, I'm going now, and out you go, and everyone gets the full effect. You can say, je suis Roman, you see, which means, I am Roman, because they wore those great things that could swell out and billow about.
Geraldine Jones.
Repetition of billowing and swelling.
Repetition of quite a lot of things, I think. Geraldine, you have the subject back. You have 15 seconds for making an exit, starting now.
The vital thing to remember is not to leave anything behind. Nothing spoils making an exit more than having to go back a little bit later and say, I left my umbrella, or I left my handkerchief, or my handbag.
Clement Foyd.
Repetition. Too many alternatives.
Yes, Geraldine, I heard what the alternatives were, Clement. Geraldine, would you like to justify, Clement?
Well, I would say that an alternative was, by definition, not repetition.
Oh, aren't they clever, all of them? Aren't they clever? And as the score is so close and you're a little behind, Geraldine, I'm going to give you a point.
Oh, and give her a point. Oh. She wouldn't allow me my billows, would she?
It was I who didn't allow your billows.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, you were right. Yeah, but 3 seconds left for Geraldine Jones on making an exit, starting now.
The best place, perhaps.
Clement Foyd, you challenged one.
Hesitation.
No, definitely not. Geraldine has another one. And you have 2 seconds left for making an exit, Geraldine, starting now.
On a stage, an exit is much easier to make, because after...
Well, the sad thing about that last round is that if Geraldine had
been challenged once or twice more, she might just have caught up the other two. Because it so happens that that is the last round of this particular game, and it also turns out that Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams are equal, so they are this week's winners.
Just a Minute was Nicholas Plus. The program was devised by Ian Messler and produced by David Heck.